I don't watch many movies, hardly any at all, as a matter of fact, but this one had to do with deliverance. It had to do with exorcism, and it was a true story. And I thought, you know, if Bill would turn up all the mics here, anybody that was there could maybe share some things and what the to-dos and not-to-dos, because, boy, there were some of them in this movie, I tell you what. The name of the movie, some of you might have seen it, was called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And it's a true story. And it was very interesting. In fact, let me just read the cover to you from the DVD here. It says, Oscar nominees Laura Linney, Best Actress of 2000, I believe, and Tom Wilkinson, the Best Actor of 2001, delve into the supernatural in this thriller based on a true story that will test your resolve and ultimately your faith. Emily Rose, who was played by Jennifer Carpenter, was an average teenage girl who was the target of terrifying demonic forces that would ultimately shock a town and torment her soul. But was she, as many believe, possessed? Well, in an attempt to clear the clergyman who was working to exorcise Emily Rose, a skeptical attorney, awakened to the discovery that powerful spiritual forces may actually exist. This harrowing film unfolds like a recurring nightmare from which there is no waking. Well, it was kind of a little bit like a horror story, but the interesting things were is that the ignorance that really kept this girl from getting delivered. It shouldn't have been called The Exorcism of Emily Rose, actually, because she didn't get exorcised. And she didn't get exorcised because of ignorance. Ignorance on the part of the so-called Christians involved there.
That's right.
Well, you know, the story started out. You guys keep me straight now. You got your mics, okay? You keep me straight on this. But it started out, little Emily leaves home a very happy young girl and around 18, 19 years old, and she goes to college and she suddenly gets demon possessed. Well, that's nothing new, right? Lots of kids go to college and come back demon possessed. You know? No, this girl really got demon possessed. I mean, some big bad demons came into her. Of course, they don't tell you the background. They just act as though it just happened to this sweet young girl. And of course, we know that's not true. You know, any of you that know anything about demon possession, you know it happens for a reason. It happens because some door has been opened, mm-hmm. and usually by the person involved, it's someone who's of age and got control over their own reason and so on and so forth, you know. So anyway, they showed the story about the demons actually coming into a room and moving things around, her being horrified and the demons entering into her. And the story goes on. You guys help me out now. The story goes on. They put a priest on trial for killing Emily through medical neglect, mm-hmm. because the doctors had given her medicine for what the best they could do. They couldn't figure
epileptic.
Out what this was.
They thought she was epileptic.
They thought she was epileptic and psychotic.
And psychotic.
And they were right. giving her meds for that. And, of course, the family and the priest decided that these meds are doing nothing for this girl, nothing. So we need to turn it all over to God, you know, their understanding of God, right? What they knew of God. And mm-hmm. They, to them, God was their priest. Their priest was the guy that knew, or supposedly knew, about exorcism, you know. And they, for instance, the Catholic hierarchy mm-hmm. had gone after this lady attorney that they thought would do a good job. And the lady attorney began to exorcise or begin to experience demons tormenting her because she was on this particular case. And she was trying, because of these experiences she was having, it kind of opened her up to realize that this really wasn't epilepsy or a psychotic episode, but it was demons.
Supernatural, yeah.
Yeah, supernatural. And So she sought to prove that it wasn't epilepsy or a psychosis, but demons. And of course, you know, folks, and some of you know anyway, that epilepsy and a psychotic episode, that's demons too. So, I mean, it was useless in pointing out that there wasn't, it wasn't these things because it was demons, right? That was kind of useless to begin with. But, the priest was blamed for this girl's very, very battered body on her death. They didn't realize that these demons were running her through glass doors. And, causing her to beat herself up against the wall and throw big, heavy men around and do some pretty horrendous things with her body, which kind of got it battered up, you know. Well, anyway, it was an interesting story, especially the part about how they were seeking to deliver this girl, you know.
Yep.
Any of you guys, you know, have a point to make, you just jump in there, okay?
Okay.
They were seeking to deliver this girl. You know, the priest was seeking to deliver this girl. And he obviously knew nothing about deliverance, but he had their Catholic book on deliverance, and he was going by the book, right? And he used some verses out of the Bible, and he spoke these verses, and he had his crucifix, and he was, you know, pointing the crucifix at the girl, you know, none of which things I don't think really affect demons, at least never in my case that affected demons. There are some verses you can use that are highly offensive to them and they don't like to hear, and especially when you're exercising authority over them. That's the main thing, is exercising authority over them.
Well, as you notice that when he, you know, pointed that cross towards her while she was possessed, that just ticked the spirit off inside her more. And it got him more angry. So, you know, we kind of figured out that this was going the wrong way in an exorcism because, you know, those of us who study, you know, the truth, now we know, you know, what it takes to exorcise. You don't sit there and play around with a supernatural entity. That's not what Jesus told us to do. Don't argue with him, just send him in his name and rebuke him. But that, you're right, David. He was doing quite a few things wrong.
They were attempting to hold her down, tie her down. She broke all the ties that they put on her, all the ropes. What was it, ropes or was it?
Well, yeah, it was ropes, but.
She was breaking them, just snapping them and throwing these guys around and whipping them with their own ropes and all kinds of things.
And the thing that got me was that all this time that they're holding her down, I mean, the more this guy kept playing around, asking, trying to figure out these demons' names inside her, the more she got battered.
Yes.
I mean, she got whooped. Every time they decided to say, well, I don't know what this guy's intention was or what this message was, we kind of have an idea. But to play around with somebody who's got a supernatural entity inside them is almost like, well, maybe you are causing her death because you're letting her get tormented by you being illiterate on the word of how to exorcise a demon.
Exactly. Well, you know, since I was a young Christian, I've been casting out demons. I've never had to hold anybody down. In fact, I never even thought that was something I should even think about doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tying somebody up or holding them down, that's what the authority does, the authority that the Lord has given you. I mean, what does the Lord say? I mean, let me read to you here in Luke chapter 10 here. The Lord says, in particular, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. Well, now, the priest was using the name of Jesus.
That's right.
But with absolutely no effect other than just making the demons mad and the demons throwing the girl around and these kind of things. And like Carl was saying, because he didn't have any authority, didn't have any faith, and he was trying something that his religion taught him in school, instead of actually exercising the authority, he was getting her battered up, you know. Even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. That means they have to obey you, you know. You don't have to use any physical force to do this. You have authority. And so verse 18 says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven.
Yeah, he said that also.
Uh-huh. He quoted that verse. But it didn't help him any, did it?
No.
Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Now, this is kind of interesting because this priest did get hurt a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, these strong demons in this girl was throwing him around, and the demons actually, this house, Emily's family home was full of cats.
Yeah.
And one time
11 cats.
11 cats. And one time the demon called for the cats to come and whip up on the priest.
Yeah, it jumped him, attacked him.
And they come and attacked him, you know. Another time when she had jumped through a glass door, just jumped right straight through it, that probably cut her up some, and ran out into the barn. They went out there after, and the demons called up the horses and snakes that were around the barn to come in there, and there was all kinds of things happening.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. But it says here, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You know what? We got to understand that the Lord's given us authority as spirit-filled Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. He's given, according to Ephesians, even the very least of us, the very lowest of us, which you might consider to be the feet of the body, that those feet have dominion over all the devil's kingdom, according to Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Well, I remember the one thing was that the lady defense attorney had a witness to the attempted exorcism, and it was a medical examiner who was just feared for his life the whole time he was in there.
Yeah, he was.
And he knew that it wasn't epilepsy or a psychotic episode. He knew that it was not. And he was going to go to court and stick up for the priest and tell the truth. But the devil killed him. I mean, threw him in front of a car, and actually the defense attorney saw this happen.
She witnessed it, yeah.
She saw it happen.
And that's on record, too. That.
And so, well, of course, he wasn't a saved man, but he saw demons for the first time in his life.
Yeah, because he had said to her, he said, before this happened, before Satan ended up throwing him in front of his car, he had said to her, you tell Father Murray, whatever his name was, that I respect him for him standing up against the demons, but I want no part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And tell him I'm sorry, and that's when he ended up seeing some kind of vision coming at him, and he freaked and jumped in front of that car. But
yeah, he started having psychotic episodes.
Yeah, he started seeing what that girl was seeing, like them faces and them people, you know.
Well, anyway, the only ace they had in the hole, so to speak, was that the priest had taped the whole thing, and literally that's what happened. In the real story is that he had taped the demon speaking through her, and actually with two voices at one time they spoke out of her, which is fairly interesting.
Yeah, and they also said that every other letter was in another different language. So she spoke, one letter was Hebrew, and it was a whole sentence. One letter was Hebrew, one was Greek, one was Aramaic. So
yeah,
that's what they could, that the prosecutor couldn't figure out how in the world this girl can say, with a sentence, use a different language.
Yeah, three different languages.
Three different languages, yeah.
The demons were speaking out of her in these three different languages.
And
you
two
know.
Voices at the same time.
And the
time.
Priest knew a couple of the languages, and he spoke back in a couple of languages because he'd gone to school to learn those, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they had taped this, and it seemed like he was more interested in finding out these demons' names than it was just simply to come out before you beat this girl to pieces.
Well, that's what got me. So that right off, when that started happening, I don't know about you, Aubrey, but I started thinking, well, there's got to be a reason for all this happening. I said, why would God, well, I guess God didn't really allow it. This guy, there's a story in the Bible, and I can't remember where it's at, but there was this guy who seemed, the disciples casting out demons, and he decided to try it. Well, the demons told them, well, we know Paul, and we know Jesus, but who are you? And they whooped him.
Yes.
They actually, well, what I got out of this preacher trying to cast his demons out was, now you better know what you're doing when it comes to these entities. You better have the Word of God on. You better stand strong in the Word, and you better make sure you know what you're talking about in Jesus' name. Otherwise, you're going to get whooped.
You know, Jesus sent the 70 out. These were not the people that were necessarily in steady training with him, but he sent them out. And when they came back, he said, Nevertheless, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The demons are subject unto us. We should be totally convinced of that, no matter how big and how bad they are. Now, these demons did finally, ultimately, give their names, although they argued with this guy for quite a while. They finally gave their names, and I don't remember all of them, but I remember Nero and Judas and Legion, and then ultimately Beelzebub is one of the names that they gave. And when they got to Beelzebub, this priest got fairly fearful. I mean, it was all over him, you know. He was so afraid that he was really coming up against the big guy here.
Yeah, now he realized, whoa, this is not what I expected. They could come out of
Well, they started out saying, we are six. One, two, three, four, five, six. And they just kept doing that until they finally started giving their names. But the priest was very fearful. He didn't necessarily have it ground into his heart that nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You know, according to the scriptures. And he really didn't know he had any authority. He was looking in the book.
That's right. And I was
figure out what to do.
And I was going to ask Bob why he's sitting there. Bob, you didn't happen to wake up at 3 o'clock, did you?
Everybody was waking up at 3, o'clock,
3 o'clock
because
yeah.
That was the demon's favorite thing to disturb people, you know. Wake them up at 3 o'clock and move things around in their house. And so anyway, little Emily, they'd pack her around. Sometimes she was stiff as a board and couldn't bend at all, and she was just locked in these positions sometimes. And she broke her all of her bonds, and
it was a horrible
trying to read verses to exorcise the devil and put crosses on her and things like that. It was all a total waste of time. Actually, they asked her in the court, asked the priest in the court, did they have permission? And the priest said, oh, yes, we don't ever exorcise anybody from demons unless we get their permission first. Well, I don't know if you would have ever got any permission from this girl unless you caught her at a good time, when the demons weren't manifesting,
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the poor priest was just way, way in over his head. And matter of fact, these demons just outsmarted them. You guys that remembered what happened.
Oh, yeah, right.
The demons had drawn her outside. I say it was the demons that drew her outside because when she went outside, she met, guess who? The Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Because, of course, these were all Catholics, right? And the Virgin Mary gave this young girl, Emily, a choice. She could either die and just pass off the scene and be out of her misery, correct me guys if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Or she could stay and keep the demons and show the devil to the world.
Yeah, because everybody was saying that God was dead, and if she showed them the devil, then how can this be that God is dead?
The only thing was ultimately they did show the demons, but they found the man guilty. Because they didn't really believe that was the reason.
Correct.
They did get to see the demons, but the world didn't get to see the demons. And besides that, she did stay, and the demons stayed, but they lied because they killed her in the next day or so, wasn't it?
Yes.
So the Virgin Mary lied to her, for one thing. So you know who that was, right?
That was
The Virgin Mary was giving them an excuse to say, okay, we're not going to do any more deliverance because we're going to let the devil stay. We're going to let him keep his house. We're going to let these six demons stay in this house to prove to the world that the devil exists. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus proved to the world demons existed, but he did it by casting them out, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So these demons actually, because of her false religion, talked them into not casting these demons out. Not that they could have. I doubt very seriously that they could have anyway. And so they never tried to deliver her anymore again after that, and she was ultimately killed by those demons. But the demons just deceived them. Demons are liars. And, of course, anytime the Virgin Mary appears to you, folks, let me just figure right off the bat that that's a demon and that's a liar. Because there isn't anything in the Bible about letting demons stay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
for the glory of God. That's kind of like the people that have the doctrine of, oh, I'm sick for the glory of God. Well, no, it didn't work that way with Jesus. The healings gave glory to God. The deliverances gave glory to God. And yeah, they did prove that the devil was real by casting the devil out. And it was just awesome to see that happen, as it has been in my life to watch this happen. But anyway, the proof was they really didn't prove to the world that the devil exists, because this jury found the priest guilty. Now, the jury spoke up and suggested that to let him off with time served, and
that's
the judge
only victory
accepted that.
That's the only victory he got out of that.
Yeah, the only victory they got out of it.
That was time served. And he only did, what, about 6 months? Five months in jail?
And, of course, the priest quit the priesthood because he said something like, once you've looked into darkness, you really can't go back into that. Well, no, I guess not. I mean, if I was him and I really didn't know the Lord.
And plus the embarrassment of being on national television, I mean, worldwide, this was worldwide through the newspapers. I mean, this guy was put to shame because of the way that he handled it, this exorcism.
Well, the Catholic hierarchy didn't want to let the man on the stand to tell exactly what he saw, what he heard, and what happened. They were putting pressure on the lawyers to not let this out. They wanted to keep it quiet. Now, whether they wanted to keep it quiet because the world don't believe in demons, or whether they didn't believe in demons, or whether they didn't want it to be known that the Catholic Church didn't have any strength to cast out demons, or what exactly it was, I don't know. But
because they weren't in the teachings of Christ. And, if they were, I mean, it's written black and white. I mean, anybody who is a student of God's Word can understand that you don't play around with these things. You just rebuke them in Jesus' name, and they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's so I think the Catholic Church really had they really had their hands full at that time. And I know what I was going to say. What got my attention was the first time I seen that movie, which was the reason why I brought it to your attention. I actually thought, okay, God definitely wanted this message out until the ending, like Bob got up and said, as soon as it was a Virgin Mary, that's when Bob got up and said, ah, that's it. that's it, I'm out of here. And because they wrecked them, they wrecked the whole thing, right, Bob? I mean,
it was just a deception.
God bless you, saints. It's wonderful to be here with other brethren that truly do love the Lord. I guess probably what Carl's talking about is that what we actually saw in this movie, because it was a recount of something that actually transpired, just from what David read and, the pretext of watching this movie, we saw what the cast of characters was, and it was a priest and, with his penguin suit on, and he was going to take authority over the devil. And, of course, the story really proved to be pretty well true of what I had anticipated that it would be, and that was to... we're given authority by the Word of God and as sons of God that I give you power and authority over all the ways of the devil. And he commands us to go forth and to plunder Satan's kingdom. Well, in a case like this where it was the power of the devil against those that really didn't know their authority in Christ, which is kind of because, what David was saying about the parishes and the hierarchy was hiding behind the curtain, because they just don't have any authority over the devil.
That's right.
And so I kind of strongly anticipated the outcome in the end, and we're just kind of calling it as it went along, before it would even happen. Well, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, because just you get to know about these things. But what I would say that I really noticed is because I came out of Catholicism a long time ago myself, many, many years ago, grew up the whole way, just like Bill and some of us others here, and altar boys and the whole thing. And you see a lot of these people that are actually, they're sent. They feel like, they're not being sent by the Lord. They get a parish, or they get a district, or they might even go on missions, and just like even, Protestants when they're called on missions. Let me take that back again. Not called by the Lord, but sent by man. They get out there in these third world countries, and they're fixing to go out there and show these people, all and lead them to Christ. And I mean to tell you, it's just like Michael when he came to visit us from Africa. It's like a different dimension out there. Where we here are pretty well versed a lot of times in some scripture, the people over there, they're dealing with a spiritual, supernatural world every day. I don't know if you remember the testimony that came from Michael. He was actually talking about somebody that was being dragged into the courts because of a curse, because of a supernatural curse that was put on somebody and was going to be held accountable and to pay retribution to the family. I mean, you're talking about a different awareness over there in terms of people that have seen the power of the occult. And yet here in America, they're convicting people because they're so weak in their understanding in terms of what the battles are that we're going through here. You know, the pulling down of strongholds. Well, so here's a picture that lays everything out for us. And it's the same way it was when I was a kid. I had a great deception in my heart, you know, through Catholicism. And I never was able to grow in the Lord, and yet the Lord kept calling me, and I was trying to figure out where to go to next, because, I mean, David talks about, you know, times when he would stand and raise his arms up and pray for the Lord. I had similar times in meditation with the Lord. I'd be locked in on a gaze, and I would spend hours just looking to the Lord and just asking the Lord questions and seeking Him. And one day I get this call from my mother, and she's just absolutely hysterical about my brother that's been over in Korea. He's come back, and gosh, he's read the Word of God, and he's not very impressed with the Catholic Church anymore. And he was a altar boy just like I was. And so what happens is that he goes home, and he gets a hold of my mother's statues of Mary, and he sets them out on the wall in the backyard, and he just starts picking them off one at a time with a baseball bat. And it was very, very traumatic to my mother, and she calls me up, and she's just about lost her breath and everything. She said, "Oh, what's that, you know, hollering about Bill, hollering about my brother, and things like that." Well, this is the first thing that happened to me, was it like, you know, well, what's this all about, you know, with my brother? What has changed him this so dramatically right here? So I got to figure this out and look into this. So I tell you what, folks, I started to really go and do an intensive study in terms of what, you know, Catholicism goes back a long ways. And when we think about what the origins were for things, for doctrines like Trinity and coming together of, you know, we're getting ready to have a new world order. Well, they had a new world order. And that beast system put together Catholicism as the universal harlot that we're going to have this time, which is going to be the united religion. Hey, it's just a remake, okay? And so when you start really going back and studying in terms of what is this religion that's being lifted up so highly that, you know, that, I mean, and you got a man that's at the head of it. He's termed the vicar of Christ, you know, that he's God's stand-in on this earth. While Jesus is not here, okay? Well, the more that I looked into this and the more that I studied this, I found out some things that just absolutely just took my breath away. I went and I read books like Mystery Babylon, but I'm not talking about Mystery Babylon that you can find anywhere today. I'm talking about the original Mystery Babylon before the Catholic Church got a hold of it and changed it because of the destruction it was doing to the Catholic Church. I've got an original copy of that still. And I read Smokescreen, and I, you know, read some of the Chick publications, and what I found out was that there was absolutely no respect for the Word of God in Catholicism. And how did I know that? I found answers to things that happened. I'm not speaking just to what was going on with the popes and what was going on with between the nuns and the priests and the things that were up in the Vatican and the Jesuits and all the things and the Illuminati and all that stuff that's there. I found out some things that, you know, when the Word of God tells you that, you know, we're not to change one dot, one tittle. Well, how can you have a religion that you respect that not only changes one dot or one tittle, but changes an entire commandment of the Lord Jesus, an entire commandment from our Heavenly Father, of the ten. that were given on the mount, that were brought down. Well, what I, you know, you've got catechism, and you've got, and you can go back and you can check, and what you can, what you'll see is that there was a commandment that we all know ourselves, that's, you know, thou shalt not have any graven images. This was the idolatry that would to be put before me. And that was, you know, another Jesus or a Jesus called Jehovah. And, you know, the statues of Mary. And all these images from above, or an image of Jesus that's been created by the imaginations of man, even if that man himself is a homosexual, and it's the greatest image of Jesus Christ that there ever was. Or, you know, even the crosses and things that we wear around our necks. You know, thou shalt not have any graven images. Well, the images are everywhere, and they're all across the earth. And what happened was that the Catholic Church was in the big business of creating images. And what they did was they sold these images everywhere. So when it came time that this became a problem, they just struck that commandment. And what they did was they still needed to have 10. So they went down and they took the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. And they split that commandment and made it into 2. And so there you have it, takes care of that. So now, hey, have a blind leadership in the traditions of man, religion, and it doesn't even respect the Word of God, of the foundation of what Christianity is supposed to be built upon. So anyway, I was that drove me right out of Catholicism completely, into Protestantism anyway. But what I would have you to realize is that, so I wouldn't really expect that there would be any authority in this movie that we were watching, whereby a priest was going to speak and cast out Satan in the kind of confusion that there is inside Catholicism. So what it really did show was that Satan has his authority, and like Carl said, you know, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who the heck are you?
That's right.
And when the devil knows his authority, and he can chase you right out of the room, I would say to anybody that's you know, dealing with the occult or casting out of demons, to be sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you know the Word of God, and that you're not hiding any sin in your life. And you know what? You'll be victorious over the devil, because the Lord promises that. And so just don't have any fear. That's the way I feel about it. And I think they got to do a remake on this. And there's going to be a remake on this, because the days are coming when the casting out of the demons and the devil is going to be handled the correct way. And it won't be so unusual that it'll make a movie in Hollywood, because we'll see it right before our very eyes very soon. Saints, we really will. And it's going to be a very exciting time. So we enjoyed the movie, but we also got a chance to put it together in its proper light. But, God bless you, saints.
I feel like if it would have been a demon-chasing Protestant preacher, you know, that actually did run the devils out, then it wouldn't have made a movie out of it, would they?
No, that's right.
So, you know, the devil is the god of this world, and he's the god of religion, and Satan doesn't cast out Satan, does he? That kind of lets you know what the problem is, folks. And another thing Bob brought up, you know, you need a clear conscience. You need to have your conscience washed with the pure water of the Word. If you don't, the devil himself will stand up to you, and he'll even condemn you to your own self, you know, and you won't have any faith, you know. The days are coming when we're going to need a clear conscience. Everyone is going to have to be walking with the Lord. If a heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive it, because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We keep His commandments, right?
That's right.
So it's important that you don't just permit yourself to be justified by religion, because you will be fearful when you're faced with the devil. You know, you won't have any boldness, you won't have any faith, you know, when you're faced with the devil. So make sure that you've had a real relationship with the Lord and be prepared for these things. I can tell you, even though that priest wasn't prepared, just any child of God in there, any child of God that knew their relationship with the Lord and knew what Jesus said about authority could have stood up to those demons. You know that? It could have been a child.
Yep.
To do it.
That's the sad part about it.
That's the sad part about it. A child could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gives even the least of us this authority, to stand up to the demons. And you don't have to wrestle with them. You don't have to fight with them. You just need to know your authority and exercise it in everything, including the part about them being supernaturally strong and able to do things like that, I shared with you about one of the first deliverances I did when I came to this town by the grace of God. And I tell you what, if I'd had to wrestle that guy, I'd have been in big trouble because he would have made mincemeat out of me for sure. He'd have tied me in knots. But it was just the authority of God that made him sit down and not move. That was all it was, the authority of God. That's what we need, folks. Put the Word of God in your heart, and just remember, you are who the Lord Jesus said you are. You are who God said you are. You are a son of God, son of the living God. You have authority over all the power of the enemy, Jesus said. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You don't have to be fearful,
I think what I got out of this movie after watching it the second time and with you guys and us talking about David, a lot of people out there listening probably going, the big deal is we lost a beautiful young girl, which it shouldn't have happened. She ended up dying. And so on Emily Rose's behalf, I would just like to say to those who want to play religion and they want to, the so-called Christians out there, that what a saying in Scripture in the Bible when it says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That really hits home right there, doesn't it, David? Because if they're being deceived by the letter and trying to cast out demons, this kills. And it shows that Emily had to die because of their illiterateness.
Well, this Catholic exorcism book that the guy was looking in and studying and everything, he just would have done a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Even if he only went and grabbed his Catholic Bible. I mean, I got a Catholic Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It got a few extra books in it.
but
if you went and grabbed his Catholic Bible and read what the Lord Jesus had to say about demons, that's all he would need as a believer.
As a believer,
These signs will accompany them that believe, Jesus said. In my name, they will cast out demons.
I was just going to say that I watched the latter half of it with you guys, but when I saw her go out into the forest or out into the fog and met Mary, and Mary's deception to her, in my heart I felt like when she died she didn't go to heaven. She didn't go to be with Jesus. She died under a deception, still full of the demons. She wasn't delivered. So that's a shocker there too.
Very dangerous.
I mean, if the priest was representative of a majority of Christians, I mean, so-called Christians, they are really ill-equipped to deal with demon possession and deliverance and spiritual matters. I think most of them don't even believe that the demons exist, I've got to give the priest points, for trying to cast the devil out of this.
Yeah, these weren't no wimpy devils. I mean, these were some hierarchy officials.
These were some major demons, and I give him points.
Sorry, Bill.
Like Carl has said, if you're going up against the devil without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, without knowing your authority in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, it's like throwing rocks at a grizzly bear.
Dangerous thing.
Yeah, you're going to get beat up.
And how's that, though?
I really would have liked to have known, though, how this girl, the progression of her possession. The way the movie portrayed it is that she's this nice girl and innocent girl. She goes off to college, and then all of a sudden, she's lying in bed one night, and she gets possessed by these devils. And I don't think it happens that way.
Well, that priest, David, he kept saying, I have to tell Emily's story.
Mm-hmm.
All through the movie, he kept trying to tell his attorney. That's why he had to get up there and speak. I need to tell him his story. Like it was sent from God. This was of God.
Mm-hmm.
When actually the guy was being deceived by old Slewfoot himself.
Yep, they were deceived into permitting those demons to stay.
Yeah, because the more these guys toyed with them, the more these demons knew they didn't have nothing in them to cast them out, and they just built them up. They built up stronger, right? Seven times, you know.
Yep.